Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Friday, March 15, 2024. How's everybody doing out there? I hope well. And we got an echo here again. Ay. What am I going to do? We're going to continue broadcasting. That's what we're going to do. I try this stuff out prior to coming on the air. I don't get an echo there. Let's try this. All right, I think we straightened that out. Oh, maybe the echo's on my end, not your end. All right, it sounds good coming over Safety FM. How's everybody doing? I hope you had a safe and productive week here. And let me put this on. I got some new Safety Wars swag. I got our red hat to go with our red jersey for Safety Wars if you're on the video stream. Anyway, got a busy broadcast night, and we also have some our normal controversy and everything else. So we're going to try going with our network news for the next 15 minutes, and we'll go from there. We're going to talk, what are we going to talk about tonight? All different kinds of stuff. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about OSHA outreach training. We're going to go through what the requirements are, because I don't think even the on the safety broadcasts, except for, other people know they want to give you general information. There's nothing wrong with that. I like to go a little bit more in depth with things, because there's stories behind the stories. As Jay Allen says, there's the inside Iggy on this stuff. And we like to go a little bit more in depth, because this is what's required. I was having a conversation with my wife today. I was on a conference call with a group this morning talking about OSHA outreach training. And what ends up happening was academics right here, and what happened was you explain things, and they're like, we don't exactly understand what OSHA is, we don't exactly understand what outreach training is, we don't really understand this, we don't, right? And what the thing is, again, a lot of what we deal with OSHA, there's a lot of misconceptions. We're going to talk about that and leading indicators. We're having a devil of a time here in the metro New York, New Jersey area with fake OSHA cards, right? And there are some leading indicators, and people who should know better on some things don't, or at least they want to play the game, as they say here. Now, if you're on YouTube, for whatever reason, I cannot broadcast live on YouTube So what's, you know, it's a little bit frustrating here. So we'll be doing that anyway. Hold on, maybe we can fix this. I tell you what, we're going to go. Hold on. Allow. We may have fixed this. All right, we may have fixed it. So if, you know, YouTube, you're going to be getting this an hour later. I'm going to upload this an hour later. So if that's what you're worried about. Now, okay, let's go to our network news, and we'll go from there. We're going to start out with, let's see here. The latest news, and from Brian Shook.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Former President Trump is happy after the resignation of the prosecutor in his Georgia election interference case. A Georgia judge ruled Fulton County DA Fani Willis can remain on former President Trump's election interference case if Nathan Wade was removed. Trump posted Wade resigned in disgrace. Trump's hush money trial in New York is being delayed with the judge's approval. The trial was scheduled to start on March 25th. It will now be pushed back until the middle of April. Trump's accused of covering up hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is approving plans for a military operation in Gaza's southernmost city. Lisa Taylor has more.
A statement from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the IDF is preparing for the operational side and for the evacuation of the population. More than 1 million people are believed to be sheltering in Rafah. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Criminal charges won't be filed against the shooter in Thursday's violent incident on a Brooklyn subway train. The Brooklyn DA's office says this is due to evidence of self-defense. Police say a 32-year-old man was on a Manhattan-bound A train when a 36-year-old started a fight with him and pulled out a gun. At least three people are dead and dozens are injured after tornadoes struck Ohio and Indiana. Tyroy, Ohio is a small town located between Columbus and Cleveland, and its fire chief, Craig Wininger, says he was shocked when daylight hit.
Last night being dark, I didn't think there was near the damage that we've seen today in the daylight.
I mean, it is different.
You just couldn't see. It was pitch black everywhere.
Officials said three people died in one tornado in Ohio and others were hurt in a separate tornado in Indiana. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
So we have some other news here from NBC. Let's see here. We have a woman shot, security guard injured near Houston Zoo. An argument over a parking spot. Man, they must have came from New York, New Jersey here, right? An argument over a parking spot at the Houston Zoo has led to a woman being shot and a security guard injured. Assistant Houston Police Chief Patricia Cantu says the woman tried to leave the area when a security guard intervened in that argument, but her way was blocked on a street in the area.
Another security guard approached her. She hit him with her vehicle, and that's when apparently the shots were fired into the vehicle.
The woman was struck multiple times and the security guard was injured. They were both taken to a nearby hospital and are both in stable condition. The woman had four children in the car with her and at the time. The man involved in the original argument is fully cooperating with police. It's not clear what, if any, charges will be filed. And here is Houston Police Chief Patricia Cantu again. She says the security guard opened fire on the woman after she hit him with a car, with her car.
Multiple shots were fired. We do know that she was hit multiple times.
Assistant Houston Police Chief again says the whole incident started when a woman allegedly assaulted the man during an argument over a parking spot.
We don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but we do know that there was an altercation.
SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, sides with Texas A&M over drag show. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a request for an emergency injunction from a student group at West Texas A&M seeking to host a drag show. Brian Shook reports.
The latest show was scheduled to take place on the campus in Canyon, Texas, in the Panhandle next week. Last year, school president Walter Wendler banned drag shows from the campus, saying such performances degrade women. A lawsuit over that action is currently before the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, with arguments scheduled for next month. The students petitioned the Supreme Court earlier this month seeking an emergency injunction to allow the show. I'm Brian Shook.
The White House snacks a bill that could ultimately ban TikTok. We talked about this yesterday. Brian Shook reports
Press on Secretary
that one also.
Karine Jean-Pierre said it's important to understand where American data is going. She called on the Senate to swiftly take up the bill that passed the House this week. The legislation that would force Chinese-owned ByteDance to divest in the popular social media app received overwhelming bipartisan support. Lawmakers are concerned the ownership structure gives the Chinese access to Americans' data. I'm Brian Shook.
Now, I listened to a podcast of I don't want to say friend of the program, but he is was a customer of my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, Gerald Celente. Probably would be a good guy to have on the show, but anyway, great guy. He works out of Kingston, New York. You've probably seen him. And his point of view on this whole TikTok thing is we have bigger priorities here. And the other thing is this, the government, some feel, are overstepping their authority here as far as free speech. The way I come down is that you have a foreign agent here that's influenced. No, a lot of people, for whatever reason, are influenced by what they see on the internet. So what I always tell people, check it out for yourself, think for yourself. That's one of our credos here on Safety Wars. And now, just because you see it on Facebook or TikTok doesn't mean that it, or anywhere else, doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. Do your own thing. Here we try to come down, usually right down in the middle here with everything. So today in politics, here's John Vernese. That's how you say it with today's politics.
Prosecutor Nathan Wade is resigning from Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia. White House correspondent and attorney John Decker says Fulton County DA Fani Willis will quickly pick it up.
It will likely be someone in her own office on her own team. If she goes outside her office, it would just mean further delays in terms of when this trial will actually start.
In a written statement, Wade said he's doing it in the interest of democracy and to move the case forward as quickly as possible. A judge in Georgia ruled Friday Willis could stay on the case if Wade was removed. The judge overseeing Trump's hush money trial in New York is agreeing to delay it. That trial, scheduled to start March 25th, will now be pushed back until the middle of April. And Mike Pence is not backing his old boss for president.
I cannot, in good conscience, endorse Donald Trump in this campaign.
The former VP said Trump does not promote the same conservative values they pushed during their 4 years together. While he wouldn't say who he's voting for, he did say it absolutely will not be President Biden. That's politics. I'm John Bernese, NBC News.
An off-duty San Diego police officer helped stop a suspect from getting into the cockpit of a plane earlier this month. Jack Cronin has the story.
The San Diego police officers were on their way to a training event on the East Coast when they were called into action. They helped detain and handcuff 19-year-old Nathan Jones, sitting with him the rest of the flight to Washington, D.C., after flight attendants said he tried three times to get into the cockpit. Jones had taken flying lessons and had notebooks with him on how to operate an airplane. I'm Jack Cronin.
So this weekend we have a St. Patrick's Day parade. I hate it when people call it St. Patty's Day. And let's remember, whatever your event, wherever it is, we recently had an issue at the Kansas City Chiefs Victory Parade where somebody had a dispute and this and that, allegedly, and, started shooting. So I'm going to tell you this. If you see something, say something. You want to be on the alert. We also teach a little bit about a situational awareness training. You can give us a call, 845-269-5772. Another expert is Alan Warford here on the network. Great resource on this stuff. He did some stuff for the government, security, things of that nature. You can't really talk about it, but, really good guy there. And we have Christian Marks reporting about a New York City's annual St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow.
Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry says there are no credible threats, but their intelligence division is monitoring sources like the internet.
We'll have our canine unit out there, our aviation unit. Our drones will be out there if needed. Our strategic response group, our counterterrorism division, and of course, our patrol, transit, and housing resources as well.
Around 150,000 participants and around 2 million spectators are expected. The parade steps off at 11 a.m. on 5th Avenue at 44th Street and marches uptown, ending on 5th Avenue at 79th Street. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio, New York.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the Israel-Hamas situation here. Governor Hochul is addressing ongoing U.S. negotiations on the Israel-Hamas war in the Middle East. Liz Warner reports.
In a statement, New York's governor said she is encouraged by reports the deal being negotiated by the Biden administration is moving closer to a resolution. This would bring the remaining hostages home safely, get more humanitarian aid into Gaza, alleviate the suffering of civilians, and put an end to the continued loss of innocent life through a six-week temporary ceasefire. Hochul noted that Israel has agreed to the proposal, adding now Hamas must do so as well. Liz Warner, NBC News Radio, New York.
Okay, I always get, I don't want to say concerned, but I always say, what's going on here in the background? We don't know. What's the inside story here? So here, usually when you get governors who are talking about international stuff going on, usually that means that they're interested in higher office. So Governor Hochul has been, getting... she got won an election, but she was lieutenant governor here initially, and then Hochul resigned. She became governor, and what ended up happening was she won her thing, that's her election. Now they're in. A lot of people don't like her for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Now she's talking about international relations. My question is this: is she going to be running for higher office, like president, vice president? President, vice president, something higher. Secretary, something. Now, my question: the other thing is this: I don't believe, my own personal opinion here, right, that one or both of the presidential candidates are not going to make it till November when they're going to drop out of the race. Hopefully not for health reasons. I don't want to see anybody get sick or anything like that. No. That's bad. All right. But I don't think that either one or both of these guys maybe either one of them or both may not be running, may not make it to November. They'll have to step down, they'll have to resign, they're not going to make it through the convention, things of that nature. A lot could happen between now and first Tuesday in November, my thinking. And I'm just saying that. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is approving plans for a military operation in Gaza, southernmost city. Lisa Taylor has more.
A statement from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the IDF is preparing for the operational side and for the evacuation of the population. More than 1 million people are believed to be sheltering in Rafah. I'm Lisa Taylor.
So in a win from Mayor Eric Adams, an agreement has been reached that would suspend the city's right to shelter laws for incoming migrants. Jonathan O'Halloran reports.
The mayor made the announcement saying the agreement with the Legal Aid Society recognizes the reality that the right to shelter was never meant to apply to a population this large descending on the city in less than 2 years. Under the agreement, new arrivals will be provided shelter for 30 days, but unlike in the past, they will no longer be able to continually reapply for shelter. The settlement does not apply to families who arrive in New York City who will continue to be able to reapply for shelter. The city says over 180,000 migrants have arrived in the five boroughs since the spring of 2022. Jonathan O'Halloran, WOR News.
I mean, I've been traveling to New York City for an awful long time. I grew up across the river from it in Woodbridge, New Jersey. In Staten Island, part of New York, right on the other side. And the crime in New York was so bad in the 70s, early 80s, that my father like forbid us to go to New York, right? So when we had something to do in New York City, it was always a family event. It was always he was there, and it was always something during the day. So forget about going to a Broadway show, anything like that. We would go to the boat show. We'd go to different outdoorsy type events, maybe the circus. My father loved the circus. Believe me, that was his favorite thing. And when Ringling Brothers was announcing, you know, that they were phasing out their whole thing, I mean, it was a fortune. And I made sure that we got the tickets for that. For my children, my wife, my brother Eric, and my father had the time of his life there. I mean, he was in tears. He was like a 10-year-old kid, 9-year-old kid at the circus. He loved it. But why do I mention this, right? Why do I mention it going there? Right now, you go to New York City. You go, especially, I've been there for a couple of very early morning meetings driving through Manhattan. I mean, Manhattan and the outer boroughs. I mean, you're talking lines and lines. We never really had that recently since the 80s of homeless that are presumably immigrants, immigrant population. We have soup kitchen lines, food, all different types of stuff issued by private groups, by public groups, and everything else. It's a little bit disconcerting here with that. They don't have the ability to, or the capacity to manage all these folks. 180,000 people, like the news says, they don't have it. They don't have the ability to do it. I mean, it's been very controversial putting up tent cities. Optically, that's not a good thing. Now, putting them into parks in these tent cities last summer, and then these parks are famous for flooding, some of them, and now you have that situation. Now putting them into schools that are like on spring break or winter break. It's been a real bear for the city of New York to deal with. And here's something else that's not hitting the news. I was speaking to a couple of insurance people here over the last month and some other contractors. And guess what? City of New York, not paying their bills on time. Not paying their contractors on time because they ran out of money from this situation. That's what I'm hearing from the people who do accounting and the insurance folks. Because they've had to give extensions on insurance premiums. Okay, and we're going to do our market recap. Wall Street is closing lower to end the week. Liz Warner reports.
Stocks fell today on inflation concerns ahead of next week's Federal Reserve policy meeting. Tech shares led the decline, with Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon all down 1% or more in volatile trading. At the closing bell today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 190 points, the S&P 500 lost 33 points, and the NASDAQ dropped 155 points. I'm Liz Warner.
And we're going to go into we're going to make this regular again. Dow Jones Industrial ended slightly down, 387.14. S&P 500 closed down at 5,117. NASDAQ at 15,973. That's down. Russell 2000 is up to 2039. U.S. 10-year Treasury note down 4.318%. Bitcoin dropped today. But ended in the positive. Dropped from the last time we were on the air. We're at 70,025. Crude oil is down slightly to 81.01. Okay, moving on to precious metals. Gold at 21.68, down slightly. Silver is up slightly, 25.42. Platinum, 954.70. And palladium, 11.12.50. Remember, the precious metals market is, that's 6 days a week. 24/7 is my understanding. So this is a big thing here. So what else? Yeah, we're going to go to commercial break, and we'll get back to you in a minute here.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozell, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now, he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all. With his engaging storytelling and expert analysis, Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozell and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars, your safety is our mission.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
How you respond to failure matters. How you respond to failure matters.
Right. I was having a conversation today with one of our friends of the program, Peter, on specifically HOP, the whole thing with HOP. A lot of companies, what our discussion was here was real simple. A lot of companies are into collecting statistics. Statistics are that, right? There's, the truth, right? There's a lie, a damn liar, and a statistic, as the saying goes, right? There are statistics. But what are you going to do with them? And can you really, truly have a trend with a lot of these safety statistics that we keep? Again, a lot of them are wholly self-serving. His complaint was this. He said, Jimmy, we collect all these statistics, all these near-miss good catch cards and safety observation reports and whatever your organization calls them. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. And he says, Jimmy, all of them this week were the same as last week. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. All of them were the same. So what do I do with them? I said, you just, I'll get in front of your management. I'll tell them right off the bat. These statistics, what are you doing with them? Can you develop a trend? I said, look, what's going to hurt you ain't going to necessarily be what kills you or causes a catastrophic thing. And the other thing is this, they're biased. They're not objective. They're subjective. And everything else that goes in there, it's a little bit disconcerting there. We're going to talk, and for whatever reason, we are we're one of the people that are going into depth with this whole Rust thing. Eventually, that's the Rust thing with Alec Baldwin and his trial coming up, blah, 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 this whole thing. And we've been talking about this from since they came out with the OSHA report, New Mexico OSHA. Now, we'll continue doing this. Eventually, this is going to be one heck of a case study if you're a trainer or a academic with this, right? Less than 6 months before Alec Baldwin is set to go on trial for involuntary manslaughter over the onset shooting of Rust cinematographer Helena Hutchins, the actor who steadfastly steadfastly claims he never pulled the trigger, says prosecutors have stacked the deck against him, quote unquote. The state prosecutors, quote, the state prosecutors have engaged in this misconduct and publicly dragged Baldwin through the cesspool created by their improprieties without any regard for the fact that serious criminal charges have been hanging over his head for 2.5 years, proclaims a motion to dismiss filed Thursday in New Mexico court. Enough is enough. Again, they were charged him, then they didn't charge him, then they recharged him, and, you know, all this other stuff. And let's recall, they did not have, they had to have an actual line item budget, right, at, for the prosecutor here, because you know that, I tell you what, he's doing everything. Now, what would have been better is what we had mentioned before, and what we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, is this whole thing had they gone to a safety wars, OSHA outreach training class. This might not have, one, this might not have happened. Number two, when it does happen, you know what you're, what you need to do with this, without, you know, because it's obvious to me, you know, based on the things that nobody knew was expecting something bad to happen, right? You know, look for it. Nobody planned for it with this, and breaking in the rules and everything else that allegedly happened. It was all outlined in the OSHA report. New Mexico OSHA. Again, this is why training is important here. Going on to another thing here, we were this story dried up, right? I believe it was last September, because they had reached a, this is Family Dollar, Dollar General, and Dollar Tree, all those stores had reached a settlement with all their OSHA issues. So we, you know, OSHA stopped. Every week it was on Family Dollar, something, right? So Family Dollar, the struggling discount chain that caters to low-income customers predominantly in cities, said Wednesday will close 1,000 stores. And this is going to cause a lot of stuff. They can't, their model is not sustainable with this high inflation. And Family Dollar will close 600 locations this year, and 370 stores over the next several years as the store leases expire. What's going on here? They're understaffed and hazardous. And they've gotten a lot of fines. They've gotten had a lot of problems here. Again, this could have been avoided had they had learned how to manage their people a little bit more. My opinion, based on what we're seeing here, with this, I mean, crime, between crime and, you know, a lot of stuff going on here. Here we have Family Dollar has lost ground to Dollar General. I guess they're two different companies. I made a little mistake. In particular, due to prices, Family Dollar's prices can be 10% to 15% higher than Dollar General's and other discount competitors. Dollar General, which is more than double the size of Family Dollar, can offer lower prices because of economies of scale. Shoppers have shifted to Dollar General, Walmart, Target, and other low-price chains to stretch their budgets. So Family Dollar, not the same as that. I made a mistake. We'll retract that, what I just said. Family Dollar was hit with a record fine this year for violating product safety standards after selling items that were stocked in a rat-infested store, allegedly in a warehouse in West Memphis. A $41.6 million fine was the largest ever monetary criminal penalty in a food safety case, according to the Justice Department. And going on with this, I know, I thought they were all the same company. They're different companies here. Now, we're going to talk right about outreach training here. And this was a story, let me get to share screen on here. This was a story we covered, I believe, either late last week or early this week. And this was the, let me get this up here. Okay. U.S. Labor Department cites Atlanta chemical manufacturer for endangering workers. Let me get the side-by-side. And it did not work. Stop sharing. We'll share again. Okay, there we go. Good thing I looked. So let me zoom in a little bit. So there's some chance for you folks to see it at home if you're on the stream here. All right. U.S. Labor Department cites Atlanta Chemical Manufacturer for an injuring worker. I'm not going to go into close to $300K in penalties and 67 violations. That's not the important thing here. Because someone said, Jim, you didn't read the whole report here, and you probably need to read the whole report. I said, okay, do you tell? They said, look at towards the bottom of it here. All right, look towards the bottom. I said, okay. It says, workers in the U.S. suffer more than 190 illnesses and approximately 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. Right? And I'm like, hold on. We're OSHA outreach trainers, and there are certain statistics and things we have to cover and include in the training. And in the official overheads, it says they went from 14,000, and you got 14,000 originally in 1970 of known deaths. I'll put it that way. I know that they're always underreported. I know that they are. And because, you know, they all different shenanigans people pull. All right. Number one. Number two, and there's litigation and everything else. Okay, great. Now, number two is that 1970, 14,000. Now we're down to like 5,000, give or take, and we seem to have plateaued here. And part of our mission here at Safety FM and on Safety Wars is to try to get that number down. But here we have workers suffer more than 190,000 illnesses and approximately 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. And we're going to click on the link here to find out how to get there. So what you're telling me is that the number that we get, the 5,000, is bullguvno. All right? It's actually 55,000 according to the numbers. How do they get there? And I tell you what, I'm going to, I will include this in my training from now on. So here we have transitioning to a safer chemical toolkit for employees and workers. A toolkit for employees and workers, welcome. And it goes on and on and on. And it says, again, as a result, after American workers use tens of thousands of chemicals every day, while many of these chemicals are suspected of being harmful, only a small number are regulated in the workplace. As a result, workers suffer more than 190,000 illnesses and 50,000 deaths annually related to chemical exposures. Workplace chemical exposures have been linked to cancers and other lung, kidney, skin, heart, stomach, brain, nerve, and reproductive illness, going on and on. Here it says again, how do we get there? And this website here is about reducing chemical exposure. Part of industrial hygiene, right? Chemical exposures. And a lot of the stuff is misunderstood about them. We're going to talk about that in a minute here. All right, so we click down at the bottom. Where are they coming with this? Footnote, the number is derived using methodology from Green Chemistry in California, a framework for leadership in chemicals, policy, innovation. And this is PubMed, and this is from the NIH, that's National Institutes of Health. We're going to read this. And here's the article. It's by Michael P. Wilson, Daniel A. Chia, and Brian Ehlers, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce this. And this is a synopsis of the article, and this is here. Right, this article summarizes a University of California chemicals policy report commissioned by the California legislature. The report makes the case that long-standing weaknesses in the Toxic Substances Control Act have produced a flawed chemicals market in the U.S. that quote-unquote undervalues the hazardous properties of chemicals relative to their function, price, and performance. These market conditions have dampened industry interest in cleaner chemicals technologies, such as green chemistry. A new U.S. chemicals policy will need to improve the flow of chemical information, enhance the capacity of government to control chemical hazards, and increase public investments in green chemistry and research and education. So this is from, let's see. So we're going to cite this. This is from New Solutions, I guess, From 2006. Now you're going to say, well, Jim, that's from almost 20 years ago. Yeah, but OSHA is still using this in their enforcement policies, as we just shown you. So it is still relevant, and there's a lot of other people who have cited this over the years, this article. Now you're going to say, well, it's statistical and statistical, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it, but My issue here is this. They're not, quote unquote, capturing all of this, a lot of these numbers. Industrial hygiene and chemical hazards kill more people than fall protection hazards, according to OSHA. Not according to Jimmy Poelzel here in Clarkstown, New York, according to OSHA. So why do we focus on all these fall protection hazards and all these other hazards and all this other stuff when we should be concentrating more on carcinogens and other, not only carcinogens, but all the other stuff? That's a valid question, and that we need to ask ourselves, what the hell are we doing when we have 50,000 people potentially dying according to this model and 190,000? Where the hell are our priorities, right? It's easy, fall protection, right? Low-hanging fruit, fall protection, going out there and blah, 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 fall protection. We see it, 6 foot or higher fall in the industry, construction industry, 4 foot or higher in general industry, maritime issues, except for shipyards, where it is 5 feet, and on scaffolding, 10 feet, subpart R, 10 feet, I'm sorry, 15 feet and 30 feet, this, that, blah, blah, blah. We're concentrating on that when we really need to be concentrating on this. Now, one of the reasons why they concentrate on the other stuff is that it gets recorded on the OSHA 300 log. This shit does not get recorded on the OSHA 300 log, right? Unless it's immediate. So, for example, you're overcome by some chemical exposure in the workplace, you pass out, that ends up on the OSHA 300 log. That ends up in your statistics, and that all goes, and they were due last week, I think, or the week before. And it should be posted right now. And that all goes into the government database here. So, question out there. And it's going to be one of our things. And, no, I got to do short videos is what I need to do. So, now you're going to say, well, we're talking about outreach training here. How does this end up as part of outreach training? We're going to go into this because we have leading indicators here of the following in the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut area here. And there were leading indicators for a long time. And we're going to go into a little bit of a history. We may go over time here with this, but that's okay. This is from February 28, 2024. And this was covered in national news company here in the New York on Long Island issued 20,000 fraudulent certifications. You see, in New York City, you have Department of Buildings that have a requirement for 40 hours of training. We're not going to get into that here, but basically they required a 30-hour outreach course, which, by the way, by law, by policy, is not a certification course. That is an awareness level training. So 10-hour and 30-hour is awareness level. But they were issuing all of these fake cards, 300 to 600,000. There's going to be fines going down here. There's fines. There's criminal charges. There's a lot of stuff going on here. And you could do the math. They're charging between $300,000 and $600,000. Here is the press release. You can look this up from allegedly fraudulent Valor safety cards connected to a death of a construction worker. So this is what basically they were charged with, reckless endangerment here. And I'm sure that will be other charges filed here, like mail fraud and other things, right, with this, if they're found guilty here. Now, New York is one of those places where they actually go and they actually charge you very liberally when you do stuff like this. So this is what happened. A guy fell. What was his name? Boom. Here we go. We had, where is his name? All right. So basically, the guy, worker fell. There was an investigation, and it was found out he had a fraudulent card. Is basically the gist of this whole thing here. Now, and what ended up happening was, they got caught, and they had financially getting electronic payments from all different sources and all this other stuff. Here you go. Two of these trainers claim they've reportedly gained some of the required high-rise inspection construction experience when they were 16 or 17 years old. Guess what? That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that in New York. Yeah, you're not allowed to have a 16 or 17-year-old working in construction. One of those things. So there's stuff all over the place. They saw an opportunity to make money and everything else. Now, here we have Long Island construction contractor to pay $144,000 enhanced compliance following this, right? So what are they requiring? The enhancement in this settlement is ensure all four persons have received OSHA 30-hour safety training and all field employees have received 10-hour OSHA safety training. All right. Now, what's the eventual resolution to this for the workers? For the workers, it's real simple here. The government says these things have to be redone, except for the one we just read. The DOB says within Department of Buildings, within 5 years, they're valid for 5 years from date. So by 2028, all these people that have these fraudulent cards, assuming that they go through legitimate training, will have all be resolved, right? Because they're going to have updated good cards. So in the meantime, what do we do? You're an employer. What do you do? This is what you do. There are leading indicators as to whether or not someone has the training. So this week we had an issue on a site audit where a worker says, where I said, hey, and I'm not going to mention what the activity is or where it was. I said, hey, why aren't you wearing a respirator with that? And what did he say? What do you think he said? He said, what do you mean? It's optional whether or not I wear a respirator or not. That's my decision. It's my life. I said, are you 30-hour trained? He said, I'm 30-hour trained. I work on all the DOB jobs. Well, this is not a DOB job here. So what do you think I did? I went and looked up his 30-hour OSHA card, and I looked to see if it was on, if the trainer was on the approved list, or I should say the watch list for OSHA. Wasn't. Number one, because I said to him, who told you that this was optional? He said, well, it's optional. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want. You can't make me do that. I said, did your employer, I said, whoever told you that, where did you hear that from the 30-hour course? I said, I don't think so. I said to him, look, I'm not here to bust chops. I didn't use that word. I'm here to help you here. I said, now you took the 30-hour course, right? I said, now, and we went through this, blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, we got people on the phone, got his employer on the phone, got this, got that, found out, got some air sampling reports, recent industrial hygiene. Okay, great. So basically they did an industrial hygiene audit on you. I don't know why you didn't say that when I asked you. They did air sampling. They have the air sampling results, blah, 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 blah. They said, okay. And this indicated it was below the PEL. So therefore, since you're below the PEL, wearing a respirator is optional. They supply them. Great. And then I said, well, did you have medical monitoring for that? No, I don't have medical. Okay, did you have Appendix D, subpart 1910-134, sign up on Appendix D, voluntary use? No. Did you do and it's like, okay. And this is what it comes down to is this. There's leading indicators. Once we spoke to him, we found out, okay, probably wasn't fraudulent what he had. He just didn't understand the questions. But we get this all the time. And one of the ones is, and now I pulled up the OSHA. This is the procedures, construction industry procedures. And here we have in the requirements for the 10-hour course. And here we have the 10-hour outreach course. Now we're going to scroll on down to the 30-hour outreach course here. And I'm sorry here for doing this. So here we have 30-hour construction, introduction to OSHA, 1 hour. So when you have an employer that knows nothing about OSHA recordables, knows nothing about OSHA policies on anything, that would be an indicator that probably they haven't, that might not have paid attention or did not take the course. All right. Managing health and safety. Again, I2P2 programs, they're supposed to have 2 hours of training on that. 1 hour in intro, 2 hours on this one, right? And I2P2, jobs, site inspections, accident prevention programs, management commitment, and all that. They're supposed to have 2 hours of that. How to conduct safety meetings, supervisory communication, all this stuff. The OSHA focus for hazards. So you're supposed to have 6 hours of training in that, and for falls, 1 hour and 30 minutes of training minimum. Electrocution, struck by, fall, all this stuff. If they're acting like that, they never heard 6 foot or higher fall protection. Now you have to question what kind of training that did they have? Or are they lying to you? I've had that too. PPE. Now here we have health hazards in construction. This is where the 50,000 deaths, right, would be included, right? 2 hours. Noise, HAZCOM, hazardous communication, crystalline silica, and other construction health hazards. Stairways and ladders, that's all part of fall protection. Now you have elective courses, 12 hours. At least 6 of the following topics must be presented. Now, this is where you have situations where, you know, where there is... where you don't really have to talk about respirators, but you have to pick these things, and then you have the optional 4 hours, where that's usually when they throw in the respirators, where any construction industry hazards or policies and or expand on the mandatory elective topics. The minimum length of any topic is 1.5 hour, and then industry-specific topics with that, right? All that stuff goes in there. So, again... all of this outreach training stuff, right, outreach training stuff, they may or may not include respirators, right, because it's all in there. But again, what are you learning in these 30-hour classes, these 10-hour classes, right? Respirator use. All this stuff gets, no, respirators, so you would talk about in health hazards, you would talk about respirator possibly in confined space entry. You would talk about respirators and possibly safety and health programs and welding and cutting. No, optional 4 hours. You could probably throw that in there, 1910-134, which is a horizontal standard. All this stuff in there. Now, here's the other thing. Let's say that it is voluntary respirator use. You have to use Appendix D of 1910-134. All this stuff in here. So if you have people out on the job that don't know what they're doing, you got additional training. Now, there's a misconception that outreach training is a quote-unquote certification. It's not a certification. Even though you went through this, you have to, if you're the employer, you have to guarantee that your people were trained in this stuff. So this is awareness level course, OSHA, doesn't consider this certification for anything. So for example, it doesn't negate, especially in New York City, that no scaffold licenses and training for scaffolding, training for fall protection, either a competent person, OSHA outreach, authorized user, anything like that. So they made a real big mess here in the city of New York with this whole thing. So with this whole thing with this. So That's what I wanted to share with you. I'm going to come out with a little bit more on that. We're going to cut this a little bit early today. And that's what I got for you. So let's get our outro here, and we will go from there. Well, it's been a great week here with the train, going here, and have a safe weekend. Remember, don't drink and drive if you're out of St. Patrick's Day festivity. Don't drink and drive, period. But this is one of the big days that people do this. So good night, everybody. I will see you. Might be doing some videos over the weekend. We'll see. I always say that. And I hope to see you next week with this. So share screen and window. And here we go.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.